Welcome to LifeWorks, where we talk about life and work and making it work. I'm Hannah Greenstein, a From mompreneur on a mission just like yours, to live the mompreneur life that brings me feelings of balance and inner peace and joy. Here, I hold space for you in the many roles you play as a From mommy business owner. Join me for support, mindset, techniques, and tools around productivity, focus, and work-life balance so you can feel in balance and at peace. If you can find excitement and joy at work and at home, you will thrive in the roles you play and feel fulfilled by your life's work. And that's what I want for you. So let's get started. Hello and welcome back to LifeWorks. Today I have a treat of an episode for you, but first I have incredible news to share. You know that my mission is to help you let go of all the beliefs that we've been conditioned into, of all the mindsets and mistakes, I'll even say, that we hold that cause us to feel overwhelmed and exhausted, to work harder than we have to. And I just want to help you trade all of that overwhelm and exhaustion and burnout for productivity and efficiency and ultimately balance and joy. And there are so many ways to get there through mindset shifts and practical productivity hacks and work-life balance techniques. And so much of it I share with you on the podcast. But I wanted to level up the work we do together. And today I am so thrilled to have opened the doors to my membership program, LifeWorks Empowered. In LifeWorks Empowered, I take everything we do here on the podcast to a new level. The learning, the transforming, the changing, the growing, the connecting, the supporting each other. LifeWorks Empowered is the monthly membership, and for every month that you are a member, you have access to a monthly masterclass with an Ask Me Anything, a supportive Slack community of women aiming for the same goals as you, the opportunity to hang out in Slack, and I will be there to answer your most pressing time management, productivity, time mindset, work-life balance questions. You will get insider access to this podcast. That means video versions of every episode that's released, insider insight as to who is coming on, and access to those experts so you can submit questions to them in advance and hear them answered when that episode airs, and so much more. If you want to be part of a community and link arms together with From mompreneurs just like you who are ready for more joy, more fulfillment, more balance that will come from working more productively and being more intentional about work-life balance, I want you in. I want you in my inner circle. The doors are open now for 6 days and then they close for at least 3 months. When they reopen, the price will be a lot higher than it is today, so I really encourage you to give it a try. Head to empowered.lifeworkspodcast.com to learn more, and feel free to email me, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com, with any questions that you have. I'm waiting to answer them and can't wait to welcome you inside this program. I am so excited for the fun we're going to have, for the journey we're going to travel together, and for the transformation you will experience. I'll see you inside. Head to empowered.lifeworkspodcast.com. And now for today's episode. Today, I share with you my talk with Tanya Friedlander. Tanya is an attorney by training and a former champion athlete. She has trained at world-leading coaching institutions. She is an International Coach Federation professional certified coach and a certified Gallup Global Strengths coach. She is driven by her passion for helping individuals break through their challenges, whether professional or personal. She has the privilege of working with executives and emerging leaders from global Fortune 500 companies using evidence-based coaching assessments, frameworks, and tools. Her approach is designed to increase connectivity, awareness, and accountability to elevate the internal dynamic, increase morale, and enhance workplace culture. She serves as an executive coach at BetterUp, the world's leading coaching company, runs her own private practice, and is also on the executive team at Steer Us, the world's first soft skills academy, and she has led many workshops and seminars on leveraging strengths. Today's episode will be eye-opening in a few ways, and I am so excited for you to listen to Tanya's brilliant insights. Don't forget to take her challenge at the end of the episode to turn insight into action, and then comment, "I life worked" on the episode so we all can be encouraged to do the same. Enjoy. Tanya, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you and to hear all the insight that you have to share.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
I would love to hear, just before we get started with the really juicy questions, what your journey has been. How did you end up where you are today?
Yeah, so basically I was born in Israel. I grew up in Austria. I lived in England, and now I live in the United States. So I've definitely been in different parts of the world and a lot of transitions. In Austria, basically a big part of my life was I was a professional athlete. I was a professional table tennis player, and I competed Austrian-wide and European-wide. I became Vienna champion at a very early stage. Wow. And I also competed at the European Jewish Olympics, the European Maccabi Games, where I won gold. And that made me a national star in Austria. So that was a big part of my life. Then I moved to England, where I went to law school. So law was a big part of my life then. And when I moved to the States, I was at the crossroads whether I'm going to continue on my legal path or reinvent myself and start something new. And I've always had a passion for coaching and people, and very deeply connected. And a lot of people, you know, told me also this was, you know, something I should definitely be doing. And that's when I reinvented myself and never looked back since. It's been an amazing journey.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about what you do now. What type of coaching specifically?
So I'm in leadership and development coaching. I use a strength-based approach. When I first started coaching, I combined my passions of law and coaching, and I coached lawyers and slowly transitioned into leadership. That's where I found my passion. And then I went even further to more specifically focusing on strength. So I do everything within leadership development, leadership skills, and using strength-based coaching.
So let's talk about, you do the strength-based coaching, you talk about strengths finding. What happens if I don't do strengths finding, if I'm not working from a place of knowing my strengths, assuming that's where many of our listeners are now? They never heard of this, they never thought about this, they just are doing whatever job they've gotten into. What does that look like? What does that cause?
So basically the conventional way for, you know, years has been in many companies and organizations, and there has been something like a performance improvement plan or development plan. And basically the conventional way has always been like, pick one or two weaknesses and develop a plan to improve them, to get better, right? So what it does is that we spend a lot of time trying to fix our weaknesses, and that becomes very frustrating and draining. And sometimes the more you do it, sometimes even the worse it gets. And, you know, I've talked with many, many people about their weaknesses. So, and I've done different exercises with them just to demonstrate what it's like to work with your weaknesses and trying to fix them. And it's just very draining and exhausting, and it doesn't bring you any pleasure. So, what happened is that research, you know, the new way of thinking, and that is, you know, Gallup, the institution, has done 80 years of research on human nature and has found that focusing on your strengths and doing what you're naturally good at, that's where your best chances of success, growth, and development lies.
Fascinating. And how do you go about that? How do you find out what your strengths are?
So basically, the process that I use is called name it, claim it and aim it. So first you name it. First, there are certain exercises that you can do in order to look at what you're naturally good at, what comes easy to you. What do you do without even having to think about it? It's who you are. It's the way you naturally think, behave, and feel. And so that is where you can start thinking about it. And the more you go into it and the more awareness you bring into your life, then you can start claiming it. Yes, that's really me. This is how it's showing up. And even if you start reflecting on how you got to where you are today, you're discovering that this is how you've become to where you are today, you know, using your strength.
Yeah.
So this has been also eye-opening for my own journey, because I started noticing that everything that I've done so far is where I got to today is by using my strength. So you can do a lot of reflection work and asking very insightful questions into what got you where you are today. And, you know, there are different kind of like tools that I use in order to identify that. But you can definitely reflect on a lot of things of what made you achieve certain milestones in your life and go to where you are today. And, you know, so that's definitely a great place to start. And then the more awareness you have of your strengths, the more you can aim them, the more you can look at what are my goals right now and how can I use my strengths to get me to where I want to be.
So interesting. So if someone is listening to this and she is a business owner and she's not sure if the business she chose to go into is one that placed her strengths or it was something that was popular or she went into for other reasons, what is sort of the solution? Is her only option to shut down and reopen shop when she figures out what her strengths are? Or do we just need to figure out how to express our strengths within what we're doing?
First, it would be analyzing what parts of your job are you enjoying? Which parts of your job are you not enjoying? And taking a bit of a, you know, introspective approach and kind of looking at which parts, you know, are easy and emotionally gratifying and fun for me, you know? And then going a little bit deeper and seeing where can I do more of that? You know, how can I bring more of that into the business I am doing? And if you're not finding anything, then maybe you want to reevaluate. But if there are certain things, then I would just take what you're already enjoying and comes easy and natural to you and doing more of that.
I think this also answers a big question that business owners have of like, how do you set yourself apart? How do you become the go-to person in your field? And I think this is the answer. If you build your business around what you're good at, even if you're providing a service that other people provide, you're doing it in your unique way. And then it has your stamp and you're playing to your strengths. So you're able to show up that much stronger and be there that much more. And that will really set you apart.
Absolutely. And I love talking about that because a lot of times people are looking, what's my brand, right? What's my brand? How do I stand out? Everybody's doing so many similar things to what I'm doing. How am I going to be different? What's my differentiating factor, you know? So that is really your strength. Right. The more you hone in on those, the more you get crystal clear on what that is. That will set you apart. And that is how you are unique.
Yeah, I think this is really such a clear way of how this is so applicable, and that's something people really struggle with. I love that you just answered the big question.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Tanya, I know you also talk about finding your purpose, which sounds really big and almost unattainable. What can you tell us about that?
Well, purpose. I mean, you know, finding your purpose in life is the most human fundamental need. So by our very nature, we seek meaning and validation of our place in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, throughout history, philosophers and psychologists and everyone has been, you know, is debating of meaning of life. And research has shown that the more purpose and meaning we have in our life, the more it improves health issues. It, you know, improves our general well-being when we have that sense of purpose. And so this goes way back in the Chova Salavava speaks about it. And it even Japanese culture has something called the ikigai, which is translated into a reason for being. And so, you know, finding your purpose is almost like having your North Star. When I help people find their purpose. And there are different ways of doing it. I do guided inner journeys and, you know, different kind of like ways of finding your purpose. What happens is that when you find your North Star, so to say, it helps you with decisions in life. So, for example, you don't know which direction to go, or you have a goal, or you're just trying to discover your next steps. When you know your purpose, it's like your North Star. So you can always ask yourself, will this decision, will this next step, will that move me closer to my North Star, to my purpose, or will that remove me further away? So it's almost like it helps you navigate through life, right? And so there are the four ingredients to finding purpose. And those four ingredients what you love. So that's like your passion, your interests, your hobbies, what the world needs, what you get paid for, and what you're great at. And what you're great at is that's where I go deeper into strengths. That's where strengths come in. So those four ingredients is kind of what, that is the sweet spot, is the purpose, when you can really find that connecting factor of all four ingredients.
Fascinating. I have so many questions. How multifaceted could one's purpose be, or can someone have more than one purpose? For example, you're talking about that sweet spot of, you know, what you're good at and what you're passionate about and what people need and what you'll get paid for. But no one's getting paid to be a mother, but that's a really integral part of our role and our journey. So does this mean that we're only talking about finding your purpose in terms of your career journey? Do we all have more than one purpose? How do all our many, many, many roles play into this?
Absolutely. And being paid doesn't have to be, you know, monetary. It's reward, right? You feel rewarded. You feel like you're getting something out of it, right? Like being a mother, you feel there is a purpose to being a mother, right? And so definitely we can have many purposes, you know?
Right.
And also we are constantly developing, right? Like we're constantly changing. My purpose, you know, years ago may have been different than it is today. Yeah. You know, there was a time I wasn't a mother and a wife. There was a time where I had different priorities and different values, right?
Right.
So values and priorities have changed over time. And so your purpose changes over time.
That makes sense. And I'm curious to hear your take on how important it is for someone's career to align with their purpose and their passion. I've had this conversation with many people and I've heard many different opinions. If someone has a job or even runs a business that they're fine with and it accomplishes what they need them to accomplish because it brings in enough money to pay the bills and they don't dread showing up there every day, but it also does not align with their purpose, it doesn't light them up, they don't feel passionate about it. Is that a problem? Or if they're filling their passions and they're filling themselves up in other ways, that's okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. It all comes down to sustainability. If you're fine with it and it's sustainable, it's totally fine. That's where work-life balance comes into it, right? We always touch upon work-life balance, which implies that we are equally dividing time and energy, which isn't necessarily the case, you know? Balance almost like implies a strict trade-off, right? And that's why I don't even like the word work-life balance. Yeah. And so when it comes to the example you just mentioned, it's all about when you know that you are intentionally, this is what I get to do to pay my bills, and it's fine. I know that I like to invest my energy and passion outside of work. Totally fine. It only becomes a problem when it's a problem for you, when you are frustrated, when you are, you know, drained, when you cannot show up as your best self at home because of the frustrations of work, right? So when it starts translating outside, you know, and really affects you outside of work, then it might become a problem. But if it isn't, then that is no problem at all.
Right. That makes sense. Like I said, I had this conversation with a lot of people recently. I've shifted in my career to something that comes from what I'm passionate about. And so I've been discussing this, and I think exactly like you said, it boils down to what you need. And there are certain people that will constantly run into burnout and will dread going to a job that they're not passionate about. And others, you know, if they have a fun coworker, that's all they need to be okay with that job.
Exactly. And for some people that are very, you know, and I've had that also, people are totally fine with it. They are not looking for the purpose in their career. They know their purpose outside, and that's totally fine.
Right.
It always comes down to how does that affect your general well-being, you know? And that's why personally, if I'm happy at work, I'm better also outside of work. I'm a better wife and a better mother, a better friend and colleague. And if I'm happy at home, I come to work more energized, right? And so if it doesn't affect you, then there is no problem, right? Like if it doesn't affect you and you're not looking for purpose at work, right, and you're just coming home, you know, and showing up as your best self at home, then there's no need to look for a problem when there isn't one, right?
Right. Right, that makes sense. But would you say that if someone is working in a job that doesn't play to their strengths, so this is a little different than it being something they're passionate about that feels purposeful, but if it's not playing to their strengths, they're more likely to run into burnout consistently?
Yes, it will become frustrating, and eventually you will get, it's not going to be sustainable. That's what happens. It's just, you know, because when you play to your strengths, you know, everything becomes fun, easy, and emotionally gratifying. And that's where you start really, you know, developing. This is when you start reflecting on your best days and you're like, wow, why was my day so great? It was because I was playing to my strengths. And oftentimes we remember what was great about the day. Let's say you completed a project, right? Or you managed to finish everything on your to-do list, or, you know, whatever your goal was, it's usually the what of a great day that we remember, right? I completed the project, the to-do list, yada, yada. But when you look deeper, it's the why of the great day. Why was my day so great? And that is where strengths come in. That is when you say, wow, I play to my strengths to finish the project. I play to my strengths to finish everything on my to-do list, or, you know, to do the interview successfully, or whatever it was, right? But it's the why of a great day that makes your day so great. So once you know your why, you can create more days like that one. That's what happens.
Right. Is the goal to spend all our time on tasks that play to our strengths, or is it only a majority? Because I think as a business owner, there are always so many aspects, and there are a lot of things you could outsource and delegate, the finances, even the design, different things that you might not like. But as a business owner, when you have so much varied responsibility, it's almost inevitable to run into things that you don't really like, aren't really good at, but sometimes just have to do. So I'm just wondering, is there a magic proportion that we're aiming towards? You tell me your thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, the majority of the day is, you know, when you're doing your work, right?
Right.
So when it comes to other things, like, you know, I'm a big fan of delegating and outsourcing, because, you know, I don't like to spend my, you know, I rather spend my time in my zone of genius, right? And so often, of course, we all run into things we don't like to do, but then we can also use a different perspective, and we can start asking ourselves, how can I make this task that I'm dreading every day that I have to do, how can I, you know, use more of my strengths to accomplish them? You know, what is some of the things that I can do, and what's the purpose behind it, and something that you can really hold on to in making it a more enjoyable ride, you know, especially when you know that there are certain things you always have to do.
Do you have any examples of where someone you've worked with has been able to do that, or where this might come up, and how you could inject your strengths into things that aren't naturally playing to your strengths?
So for example, a big part of like what I personally, you know, often have to do is when you think about the business aspect of my work, for example, is you know, there's marketing and, you know, and I just, honestly, I just like to coach. I like to do my work. I'm not the most business oriented person, right? But there is a large mm-hmm. proportion mm-hmm. of anyone in coaching or in any business is the marketing aspect, right? And looking at different things, you know, within marketing, and it's not really something that I particularly enjoy. So I started asking myself, how can I play with my strengths to make marketing more enjoyable? So, you know, one of my strengths is I love connecting with people. That's why I'm in the coaching industry, right? Because I love connecting to people. Yeah. So I started to look at how can I look at marketing from a connecting perspective, you know? So I started to look, hey, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. do maybe more networking, you know, because I love talking to people. What else can I do to use my strengths? Right. You know, so you start looking from a different perspective of how can I turn the ich feeling into, oh, which perspective can I use playing with my strengths to make that ride more enjoyable? So now I use my connecting strengths to do things that I don't particularly enjoy. And when you zoom in, and first you have to find out what your strengths are, but the more you are aware of them, the more you can Right. use them to overcome the things that you don't enjoy that much.
Right. Fascinating. So I know you mentioned some tips at the beginning, but if someone's listening to this and she's like, I don't know what I'm good at, and I don't know what my strengths are, do you have just one piece of advice, one exercise she could do, one question she could ask herself?
Absolutely. So ask yourself, what comes so easy to you, you don't even have to think about it. It's just so natural, you know? Ask yourself, what do you constantly get feedback for? What do people always tell you? And if you don't know, start thinking about it more or ask for feedback, you know? You can ask your friends, you can ask your neighbors, you can ask in the community, your clients, your customers, whatever it is, you know, why did you choose me? What was, or your friends, what makes me different as a friend, you know? And they will, and eventually you start to see a common factor. You will always start hearing similar things, you know, and that will hone in on your strength. You can also reflect on past successes you had in life and ask yourself, what strengths did I use back then, you know, that got me to where I am? There are more, you know, but these are some great ones to start off with. And, you know, I think that is oftentimes when you start to reflect more and more on, you know, your differentiating factor, what makes you unique.
Fantastic. Tanya, you have coached some pretty big executives. You're able to name drop things like Facebook and Google. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
What would you attribute your success to? Do you think it's that you're playing to your strengths, that you've been able to really see so much success? And it's almost like you have to be somewhat uninhibited to get to a place where you're able to achieve that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for me, it has always been my, and this is where it comes down to what in throughout my life, you know, when I had a goal, I always had a vision for whatever I have a clear vision. And for me, it has been the commitment, the determination, you know, failing and constantly, no matter, even within my table tennis career, I failed so many times, and that's how I won. You know, it might not make sense when I say this, right, but the more I failed, the more I was able to actually to achieve, because it's part of the game, right? And I feel like I've taken this throughout my life, that I constantly, you know, like played with things, and I failed, and that's what made me eventually win. And I think that attitude of determination, and I had a lot of, you know, things that I could have easily said, it's not going to work, right? The club that I was part of was very small, and I didn't have a real coach, and I had so many things that really weren't working for me. The probability, let's say, was very slim, but I just went for it, and I had a lot of naysayers. I just ignored them. And so I think it's my determination, commitment that I feel got me to where I am today, to just, you know, even when the odds seem to go all against, you keep on pushing and for what it is that you want to make happen in your life.
Is that something that comes naturally to you? Because on this podcast, I've spoken to a few women. We've talked a lot about mindset and how naturally our brains keep us playing small. We're afraid of failure. We shy away from rejection, right? We really, really try to keep ourselves safe, which ultimately keeps ourselves really small. And in order to, like you're saying, in order to succeed, you need to have the determination and you need to have vision and you need to be willing to fail and then get back up after you've experienced rejection. So has that come naturally to you? Because I know some women that have to put in so much work to even find their vision, to even figure out what they want.
I think it's largely because we make it mean something. You know, when we fail, we start labeling ourselves. I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I was rejected. You know, that we start labeling, we make it mean something. So over time, I started noticing that I'm not going to label myself. You fail. That's part of the game. That's part of life. And I'm not going to make it mean anything. I fail. It's just, you know, you can call it whatever you want to. It doesn't even have to, you don't have to call it a failure. You can call it, people call it redirecting, right? Redirection, you know, you can call it, many people call it learning, right? We learn from all the failure and mistakes. So you can, you know, you can start playing with that and seeing, can I make it mean something else? Because we make everything very personal, right? We make it mean something and then we identify as such. So I'm a failure, I'm not good at this, all these things. And that really brings us, like you said, it makes us play small and we are afraid of dreaming big because, you know, we're afraid of rejection or failure. But when you start dreaming big, it's not about those big steps that you're taking. It's those incremental little steps that can take you every day. You know, you might get a step back. You might, you know, so to say, fail, quotation. But it's every time it's readjusting. What did I do wrong? What didn't work here? It's not so much about wrong. What didn't work here that I like to refine, that I can do better next time, right? And that is, so that is very much connected to having a growth mindset as well. You know, a growth mindset is that mindset of like, what can I do better next time? Okay, I don't know how to do this. I can learn, right? Instead of a fixed mindset, which is, I'm not good at this. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. All these things, you know? So it's that the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset that allows you to reach higher and further and builds resilience.
Yeah, that makes sense. You brought up fixed mindset, so I'm going to ask you, how do you differentiate between a fixed mindset and just having an awareness of, like we talked about strengths finding, but having an awareness of what your weaknesses are, not in a judgmental fixed mindset kind of way, but just in like, I want to know what I'm good at and what I'm not so good at so that I can set out to do things that I'm going to succeed in. How do you differentiate between the two?
So do you mean differentiate between the fixed mindset and a growth mindset?
A fixed mindset and being aware of our weaknesses without having, you know, a fixed mindset could sound like, I'm not good at this, I can't learn, and I'll never be able to do it. But then there are some things that we're naturally not good at, and we want to play to our strengths and not to our weaknesses. So how do you differentiate like the more gentle approach to being aware of our weaknesses as opposed to a fixed mindset?
So the things, you know, the difference between, a lot of times people connect strengths with skills. Skills can be learned. So if there is something, for example, at work that you are trying to do, you can learn those things, but strengths are more about who you are, how you naturally think, feel, and behave, rather than skills. You know, skills are things that you can learn, and so you can ask yourself, is this more of a skill, something that I can learn and it will not take me so long, or is this something that just doesn't come natural to me? This is just not who I am. You know, do you hear the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Totally. And now that you brought up strengths versus skills, which I hear that's a nuance that could almost be missed, could you list off just a few examples of things that are strengths as opposed to skills so that we could really get clear on what even are strengths? What are we talking about?
So how I said, it's like things that just like how you naturally think, feel and behave. So for example, it comes natural to you to, you know, be excited about you. Like, let's say you're starting a project and you're really good at starting something, but then maybe you have issues in finishing things. So maybe you have other strengths that can navigate finishing something. Or perhaps it's, you know, maybe you're very organized, you know, everything is organized, maybe your closet has all the colors arranged, you know, maybe that comes natural to you, you know, to just organize. Maybe when, you know, for a lot of men, for example, when they're driving, they start competing, you know, against other drivers, or you have a competitive mindset. Also for women, you know, you're thinking, oh, how can I do this better, you know? Or for example, connection, you know, you are relating to people, you're always trying, you're intuitive, you love to connect to other people. Those things just come natural to you. You don't have to try so hard. So these are some examples. Or you're a deep thinker, you know, you analyze everything. You're taking something and you're analyzing in a very deep way. Or you're a learner, you just love to learn about everything, you know. You are just excited, learning. And something that you have to be aware of with strength as well is that every strength that you have, if you take it too far, it can start working against you. We all have blind spots, you know? So it's something important to be aware of. If I'm too much of something, it might not serve me. So strengths really are neutral. They're not good or bad. It's how productively you apply that makes it good or bad.
Interesting. Right. And can strengths and skills ever overlap? Because I'm thinking someone can naturally be a really strong communicator, but there are also some communication skills that could be learned, I think.
Sure. And the way you will learn the skill is where your strengths come in. You see what I'm saying? Let's say in communication, let's say I don't really like presenting, you know, but I love to connect to people. That's my strength. So my connecting strength will help me with my presentation. Does that make sense? Or let's say I'm not good with numbers, like math, you know, I don't like to do math, but let's say I'm a learner, I love to learn. So maybe my strength as a learner will help me make the journey of maths easier. You're taking your strengths and you're connecting it to whatever you want to achieve. Does that make sense?
Right. Totally. Yeah. It's such an empowering way of looking at things because without that, it's just, I'm not good at math and I'm not good at math and it ends there. But if I'm not good at math, but I have strengths that could help me get better at math, that's really empowering.
Exactly. And especially if it's something that you really want to learn, right? And you're like, oh, what a shame that I'm not really good at math. But how can I use my strengths to make me good at math? You see? Right. And that might be, and that will change, that will empower you, that will make things much more easier and fun for you.
Fabulous. Tanya, you mentioned that you don't like the words work-life balance, but we do talk about that a lot on this podcast. I agree, absolutely agree with what you said, and I'll tell you what work-life balance means to me. And I've shared this on the podcast so that I'm sort of on the same page as all my listeners. I think work-life balance is not necessarily the wrong term for it, because I think that what it means is exactly like you said, it's not something you have, it's not something that you see on your calendar, it's not how you spend your time, but it's just about how you feel. And when you feel in balance because you're juggling work and life and the many, many balls that that includes without feeling overwhelm and exhaustion and like you're constantly dropping things, but instead in a way that you're playing to your strengths and you feel fulfilled and you're able to nurture all the parts of you so that you walk away feeling in balance, then that's work-life balance. That's what it means to me.
Absolutely. And I totally hear it. I think the way we look, each one of us, when we hear balance, we see different things, right? So and what I'm hearing from you is exactly that. And for, I guess, you know, when I I like to use different words just because it makes it shift for me in terms of, like, I like to call it work-life harmony, you know, harmonizing all the
Oh, I
parts.
love that.
Yeah, work-life harmony. Just because I think when you hear balance, it might imply something different than when I hear balance. It's almost like a trade-off, or like it has to be equally divided, you know, like a scale. I see balance, I see a scale, you know, and there will be times of life where it will not be equally, you know, and it will be, you know, on one side, you know, heavier than on the other side. And there's nothing wrong with it. So that's why I'm always like, you know, we don't always have to be on the same balance. You know, it's more about having harmony of life, right? So but I think we are ultimately same thing, you know? It's just different words.
And it makes a difference what words you use, so.
Exactly. And you're absolutely right, and that's where strengths come in, because the more we use our strengths, the more it will make whatever, you know, it is that we want to accomplish at work or outside of work. It's when we can play to our strengths, there won't be so much of an imbalance. You know, there will be much more. You will feel energized when you are at work, when you are at home, but because when you play to your strengths, there is not going to be such a drastic difference and an imbalance. So that's where strength is such a key factor in having that work-life balance.
Yeah, so could you tell us more about that, using that approach to work-life balance?
The strength finding approach.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you are using your strengths at work and you feel satisfied and fulfilled, and then you come home and you will show up differently at home. You're also going to be better at home. You will feel a better wife, a better mother, more energized. And the same goes with playing your strengths as a mother and as a wife. When you're playing to your strengths as a mother and as a wife, it will translate into how you feel at work. You will show up differently when you feel more energized when you go back to work. And so when you are using your strengths at work and in your private life as a mother, as a wife, it translates, you know, that's a very holistic and whole person's approach.
I think what you're saying is almost radical, because we are so good at coming up with possibly made up just visions for what a good wife does, what she looks like, how she does things, what she does, and the same for a mother, right? And we have so many self-imposed rules, like I should do this and I should do that. And so we're never really thinking about playing to our strengths. We're thinking about sort of checking all the boxes, which makes things really, really tough. I've never heard it expressed this way. And it's just so enlightening to think about showing up as a mother, using my strengths and doing it the way that I am good at and that really only I can do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is the difference between an external or an internal factor here. Because the internal, for example, let's say you want to, the checking of the boxes, this is how it looks like. And if you strive to check a box, then look at how can you use your strengths to get there? You know, an internal approach. When I started to discover my own strengths, I saw how I'm using my strengths at work, and I'm using exactly the same strengths as a mother and as a wife. And to become a better mother and a better wife, I use my strengths. I look at what comes easy for me as a mother. How can I use more of my strengths instead of I should be like this or like that, you know? How can I be more of who I am already? How can I be more of that? You know, I just want to be more of who I am already and take that to the next level. So let's say I keep going back to connecting. You know, I connect to my clients and I connect to my children. I connect to my husband, right? So taking different strengths and asking yourself, how can that strength serve me and help me to become a better mother, a better wife?
I love this so much. It has such an empowering and just a really positive energy to think about it that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you will go so much further, and everything changes, you know. When you start looking at life from a place of strength, through the lens of strength, everything changes. Everything changes. You feel empowered, you feel motivated, you feel like you're achieving what you want and becoming more of who you already are. And that there is nothing more empowering than that. That's God's gift, you know.
Yeah. Do you have any resources, anyone that's been so taken by this concept? Do you have any resources to recommend, books they could read to learn more about this?
Absolutely. So sometimes I help people discover their strengths, but you can also take the resource that I suggest is you can take an assessment. You know, there is, it's called the Strength Finder, Clifton Strength Finder. You can take the assessment and it gives you an insight theme report, and you can see, does it resonate with me or does it not resonate with me? And how does it, you know, how does that apply in my life? And, you know, and that is a great starting factor. You can also read the book Now Discover Your Strengths, and that is a great resource as well. It's also from Gallup. It's called Now Discover Your Strengths, and that's a great starting point to kind of like make to start thinking about what are my strengths, and it's a great way to just start the journey. And it's an endless journey of self-discovery, you know. It's not where it ends, it's just the beginning of an endless journey of discovering.
Right.
And you start noticing so much on a daily basis when you have that awareness.
Fabulous. And like you said, it's ever evolving.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of who we are. You know, we are constantly changing and evolving. And in different situations of life, you can always bring that back in and ask yourself, you know, how can I be more of who I already am? And starting with my strength
Right.
today to achieve what I want to achieve in life.
Right. Fantastic. Tanya, can you give our listeners one action that you challenge them to take right now, something doable, something impactful that can help make everything we talked about very real for them?
Yes, absolutely. So first, ask yourself, think about what helped you succeed in the past, or start thinking about what comes naturally and easy for you. And, you know, how am I using one of my strengths on a daily basis? And take one strength that you identify, just one strength, and implement it more for your life. Take that one strength that you discover for yourself and look at one of your goals, you know, and ask yourself, how can I take that strength and connect it to my goals? How can I bridge that gap from where I am to where I want to be, who I am to who I want to be? So, and it always starts with those incremental little steps to just one strength and one goal, and see how you can bridge the gap. And the more you do the exercise, this kind of work is like a physical workout. You know, you cannot go to the gym one time and expect a whole body transformation, right? To have a six pack or whatever. It's every day working on it, on different aspects, different parts of your body that you want to refine and get better and stronger. The same goes with our strength. You take one talent that you have, one, and you develop it more and more, and it turns into you strengthening it. And that's building mental muscles, just like physical muscles, you build mental muscles. And the more you are intentional, the more you do those exercises, the more you will achieve excellence. And that is how it happens. It takes being intentional and commitment.
Right. Fantastic. Right. Tanya, for listeners that want to hear more, learn more, work with you, where can they find you and connect with you?
Absolutely. So my website, you can learn about me and what I do on tanyafriedlander.com. I have a great PDF file with strength finding questions. If you're curious and you don't know exactly, you know, how to identify your strengths, just download the PDF and do the exercises. If you have any questions, you can email me on coachfriedlander@gmail.com or connect with me on LinkedIn, Tanya
Perfect.
Friedlander.
Fantastic. And I'll link everything in the show notes. Tanya, this was so enlightening and just fascinating. Really, thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, head to lifeworkspodcast.com because that's where the party's at. Drop a comment, hashtag ILifeWorked, on this episode to let our community know that you took the challenge and encourage others to do the same. If you want to hear more about what I do for mompreneurs and how we can work together, reach out, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Wishing you a day of work and life that work to bring you tremendous fulfillment and joy. Till next time, I'll see you here. And again, thanks for being a part of our incredible community.